Morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. It's good to be here again this morning in the house of the Lord about fairness. And the question is life fair? Is life fair? Let's do a poll real quick. If you think life is fair, raise your hand. Chris, I saw that, bro. Okay, so one person raised their hand, life is fair, okay? So basically, life is not fair, okay? We believe life is not fair, and I agree. I think the default setting on earth is no, life is not fair. There's a song, Only the Good Die Young. That's not fair, okay? This morning, we read a quote that cheaters oftentimes win. Bad guys oftentimes win. Bad things take place. There are people who die in bad circumstances. There are babies who are born with AIDS. There are people who are locked up and kidnapped for years at a time and come out never the same. Unfair things take place. And in our own lives, I think all of us can remember very clearly something fair not taking place. And never ever recouping, we think, that unfairness. I think for me, it first occurred when I was in kindergarten, and the teacher brought in a bunch of toys for some reason. I forget why she brought them in. But she poured them on the table, and all of the kids, seeing the toys, ran up and got the toys. And me, I said to myself, no, that's not how things are done, okay? We have to wait for the right toy to be given to the right person. And so I sat back and waited. But I did not get a good toy. All the good toys were gone. I got a rather cheap toy. And at that point, I realized that wasn't right. I followed the rules, and yet I did not get a good toy. And as life continued on, over and over again, I would say to this day, I think that people who follow the rules oftentimes don't get the best toys. It seems like to get the very best things, we must do what is not right. It's not fair. How often have we said or felt, it's just not fair? And so when unfair things happen to us, it is very tempting to be unfair ourselves. Perhaps we may say life is only fair if we balance off unfairness. If you're unfair, then I could be unfair. Maybe somebody has done something wrong to us, and we say it's only fair that I can do something wrong back to you. That makes things even, we think. Or maybe we do see somebody who is successful in the wrong way. They're successful in life, while we, doing it the right way, are not in that position. And we say, it's only fair if I also do what they did to get what they got, to get that success. Or maybe it's very small things, little things people do to get ahead. And we say, yeah, that's not, let me also get ahead. Let me also save this kind of money, save this kind of time, make this kind of shortcut, because everybody else is doing it. Therefore, to be fair, I got to do it myself. It's very tempting to fall for that. But no, as Christians, the challenge that God gives us is that we dare to be fair in an unfair world, that we take upon ourselves fairness, even if it means turning the other cheek, letting somebody hurt us and not getting them back. Even if it means that we choose a lifestyle, a direction that would not be so full of money because it's correct, while people doing the unfair things seem to be richer and doing better than we do. It is the challenge that God gives us to be fair in an unfair world. In the book of Proverbs, the writer talks about being fair. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8. And how we should act in this world, despite things around us. Proverbs 20, verse 8 says that when a king sits in judgment, he weighs all the evidence, distinguishing the bad and the good. Sometimes, to get an advantage, we might not want to get all the evidence. We listen to, consider, and gather only what supports us. It's also very scary to get all the evidence, knowing that by getting all the evidence, we may lose the situation. No, The Bible says for us to get all the evidence and be unbiased. That's our challenge. Proverbs 20, verse 10 says, false weights and unequal measures, the Lord detests double standards of every kind. It may be tempting at times to cheat a system towards our favor, to make something that which appear to be balanced when it's not balanced, knowing that we will get the benefit of that imbalance. It may be so easy to do so because everybody else does it, but the Bible says God can't stand that. God detests that kind of behavior. Or Proverbs 20, verse 23, in that same chapter, the Lord detests double standards. He is not pleased by dishonest scales. How many of us knowingly have chosen to be fair about something to our loss? I know this is the right thing to do. It's going to hurt me to do so. How many of us treat everybody equally to the best of our ability? Or do we only treat people that we prefer the right way? People that we like the right way, but everybody else we treat improperly. That's unfair. The Bible tells us that, as Glenn spoke today, if we are people who are united, if we are truly united, we talk to everybody. We treat everybody equally, no matter who they are. That's a challenge that God has given to us. We are to try our best to be equal and fair in a world that's based upon preference. Our entire world and society is preference-based. That's how things are. Everything is preferential. If it's not preferential, it's because you've not been preferred. Something else is preferred above other things. Indeed, a writer named Thomas Sowell said, when people get used to preferential treatment, equal treatment seems like discrimination. I'll say it again. When people get used to preferential treatment, equal treatment seems like discrimination. And in the world today, it's hard to, if you say we're all equal and I'll treat everybody equal, people get angry about that. So, we are to try to be fair. How dare we do so? When I was 18, I was still, like naive 18-year-olds. Sometimes adults, when you're 18 years old, adults have a way to make you feel very, very small and naive. And so when I was 18 years old, I told my uncle, I'm going to live my life turning the other cheek. I'm going to live my life according to Christian principles. I'm going to live my life submitted to the Word of God. And he told me something I'll never forget, and I felt very bad. I felt very little. I felt very naive that this is what older people can do at times. He said, Alex, if you live like that, you will always be behind the eight ball, he said. You will always be behind the eight ball. And that means, it's a pool expression, which means no matter what you do, you're going to lose. And he laughed. And when I was 18, that he was a successful man. I was 18. I did not know how to answer him. I felt like telling him that, no, God is correct. That, how do I say, no, God is right. I felt silly saying that. And also, I had no idea how to not live the way Christ told me to live by that age. I didn't know what to do. And so I lived my life saying to myself, is he right? Is he correct? I kept doing what the Bible says, fearfully saying to myself, will it occur one day that what he says is true? Will I be behind the eight ball while I always lose? Do I know any better? Well, I can tell you, 23 years later, I've not changed that strategy. I've not changed that lifestyle. And I got to tell you, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty awesome. Because here's the thing. Yes, the default setting of the world is that life is not fair. But if you add or turn on a different setting called the godly setting, the setting of God, then things become fair. God is required for it to take place. Outside of God, yeah, it is unfair. We are behind the eight ball. But with the Lord, there's a brand new power involved, a brand new law involved. Again, there are certain laws on this earth that take place, that are there, that are maybe contrary to us. But when God gets involved with these things, there's a more powerful law in place. A default setting of the world is that we are all victims of something. Life is unfair. We are all victims of something. But if you add God to the equation, a new law occurs and we become victors. We become victorious. God is more powerful than any law there is, including the law that says that life is not fair, because God is fair. And God is the most powerful force there is. Add God to a situation, add God to our lives, and we will see that life is fair with God. For example, Romans 8:28. That's the promise in Romans 8:28. The reason why Romans 8 is so powerful is the entire chapter breaks rules. It breaks the laws that we're used to. The entire chapter breaks the things that we think are right over and over and over again. Almost every verse in Romans 8 is a powerful verse because it's more powerful than the world. And one of the verses says, I don't care what we go through. If we go through it with God, it will work out for the good. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? No matter what we go through, the Bible says, if we go through it with God, it will work out for the good. So not only does it become fair, it goes to our favor, in fact. It completely turns around. It's not good enough for God to be fair. God wants things to be going towards our favor. Romans 8:28 says, and we know, I hope we know this morning, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Yeah, how do I qualify for that? How do I qualify for everything in my life to work out for the good? A, love God and live for God. That's it. It's kind of hard to do at times, right? It's true. But I tell you right now, if you love the Lord and you work for the Lord, that's how life is. And I can tell you, 23 years since I told my uncle that, I can only tell you it is true, that verse. It may be slow. It may not be immediate. Some of that verse hasn't taken place until recently. Some of the things I didn't see happen until I was 40 years old. It takes time at times. But it always works out, everything with God. Romans 12:19. What if somebody gets at me? What if somebody hurts me? What if somebody brings me low? God will take care of it. Dear friends, never take revenge, the Bible says. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Some verses say, leave room for God, as if we do take our own revenge, God won't do anything. It's almost the impression, if we take the place where God should be, God won't do it. But if you sit back and let God handle it, God will take care of the situation. Even people who hurt us, God will make the situation okay. He equalizes. He's the ultimate avenger. He will make things right. However, I must say, fairness requires something, love, following God, but let's add one more thing. It requires faith in God. It requires faith in God. And this is why, for the rest of the world, they cannot comprehend the concept of this earth being fair with God. It requires faith in something. It requires believing in something that we cannot see. We Christians need to have faith in order to feel fairness. If not, we Christians will be as disappointed as people who are not Christians. Christianity isn't an osmosis situation. It isn't, I'm a Christian, life will automatically be better. No, as Christians, we have to claim the things that are given to us. We have to claim these promises. And so, life being fair, we have to claim that through faith. It's not going to happen automatically. We got to believe it to take place and be real. For example, a child born with AIDS, how is that fair, we say to ourselves? What if a child lives and dies in pain? How is that fair? Or people, how you think of people who live, we Americans, I mean, it's unfair that we live in America in some ways, and everybody does not live in America. I look at other lifestyles around the world and I say, why, God, did you have that person live in that country and have that horrible life? And what did I do to deserve that? I did nothing to deserve that. In fact, that person is probably way more righteous than me, and yet they live in horrible circumstances. And me, I live like a king. What happened here? Well, I tell you, one place where all things are made fair, one place where all the answers take place, and that's heaven. And that's heaven. I dare say there are certain things that we will not see being fair until heaven. So if you show me a child who is born with AIDS and dies with AIDS, we may say, it's just unfair that this happened to that child. Let's also remember that child is going directly to heaven. And heaven, heaven is so unfairly good that everything, when we go there, nothing that took place on this earth will matter compared to heaven. That's how great that place is. But again, we have to believe it exists. If not, yeah, all we have is earth. And guys, earth is not it. Earth is not it. This is not the only place there is. There's got to be more than that, and there is more. This is only a tryout period to see where we go. I pray everybody sees the real life of heaven. That's the problem. We think, many of us think this is the real life. No, what is it? It's not meant to be fair. It's not meant to work out properly here totally. Heaven is the ultimate reward. That's where all the things that take place work out well. The Bible says about heaven, Revelation 2, 1 through 4, Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Look what it says. Then I saw, the writer John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. He's symbolically talking about this new heaven situation, away from the old earth situation. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. God living with us is the ultimate dream, whether we know it or not. In the Garden of Eden, God was walking around in Eden with Adam and Eve. And heaven is that place again where God is living with us. God will be our neighbor. We can talk to God every single day as if we're talking to our neighbors every day. And it says in verse 4 about heaven, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That's heaven. But it requires faith. I hope we believe in heaven. I mean, why be a Christian if not? That's the reward. That's maybe the best part about being a Christian. We get to go to heaven when this is all done. But heaven is also the ultimate equally. Ultimate fairness. I will say it isn't even fair. It's too good to be true. Luke 16:25, we have a story about somebody who had a great life, who had the wonderful life, and in relation to somebody who did not have that great life. And what happened? Because the person who did not have a great life was a righteous person, and a person who had the great life was not righteous. Look what happened. Luke 16:25, it's a longer story, but I only have time for one verse. Luke 16:25 says this. Because the guy who had everything in life was complaining. Why am I in a bad situation now? What's going on here? Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is being here comforted, and you are in anguish. Okay? The fact is that, you know, as a writer said, I love C.S. Lewis said, the person who has everything and God has no more than the person who has nothing and God. I'll say it again. The person who has everything and God has no more than the person who has nothing and God because of this right here. It's God's all. God's the ultimate reward. He's going to bring it to us. All these things that we think are great and special right now, it actually isn't a big deal at all. What truly is that big deal is the reward that God's given to us that we will have through faith. And so, since things are fair around God, things should be fair around us, the people of God. That's a challenge. That it is not only with God things are fair, but if we say we are people of God, that we have God living in us, that we are people of God, and that where church is, there is God, then around us, it should also be fair. And we should make it our job, our challenge, to look around the world and see what is not fair and jump into it and make it fair. In that first century, the people who had an unfair life were widows. In those days, if you were a widow, it was horrible. So the church made it their point to take care of widows and orphans. That was religion in those days. So James 1:27 will say, James 1:27, talking about that society, that time, ancient Israel, first century Israel, he would say that true religion, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refuses to let the world corrupt you. Now, there are so many systems these days to take care of widows and orphans. Not that we should not pay attention to that situation still, but there are new unfair problems today. There's a new unfair in our day and age. There are things going on in the streets right now that are just not right. There may be things in church right now that are just not right. And so our job as Christian is to stand in the gap, to look around and say, what is not fair around me, however, it will be fair. So if you need time, if you need a visit, if you need support, if you need money, if you need attention, if you need love, if you need patience, and you don't have those things, we will give those things. That is our challenge, to be as God wants us to be. So look around us. Look around you. We don't have to go far. Look around and see what is not fair and make it fair with our lives. That's a challenge God has given to us. If we call ourselves Christians, we have to mimic what Christ did. That's how he handled things. Why did Christ feed the 5,000? Why did Christ have a heart and desire to take care of the lady who was caught in adultery and they wanted to kill her? Why did Christ stand for her? Because it was not fair what was happening to her. Let's do the same thing as Christians ourselves. But a warning. I will give you a warning about being fair. It's not all roses. In fact, I probably would say I have offended people the most by being fair. Back to what Thomas Sowell said, there are certain people who think they deserve to be treated in a preferred way. Or worse than this, there are people who may have treated us in a preferred way, and therefore they expect that we treat them back in a preferred way. And so if we dare say, no, I'll treat you in a fair way, they will get offended. I must say, I've offended most people of my life by not being preferential, by simply saying, this is what you did, this is what you did, here are the results, here's what happens. Ooh, people get angry about that. Ooh, I've been called ungrateful. I've been called a betrayer. And I say, man, am I these things? Looking back, and I say, nah, I just being fair, just being right. God goes through the same thing. The Bible will say that people will get angry at God for being fair. Matthew 20, 1 through 16. Look at this story. People are angry at God because he's fair. Matthew 20, 1 through 16, for the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passed through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, why haven't you been working today? They replied, because no one hired us. The landowners told them, then go out and join in the others in my vineyard. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to their owner, those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat. He answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. This is talk about people who think I've been in the faith for a long time, I deserve a better reward. God is fair. You're a Christian, you get your reward. To think you should have preferential treatment because you've been there longer or such. Apparently people will even be angry at God. So don't be Don't be surprised if people are angry at us for being fair. God is fair, and I must say, one of the most comforting parts about God is that he is utterly, utterly fair. I love that about him. Sometimes it can be so confusing to understand when we try to figure out how will God divide, how will God take care of people that I don't know about. I know what it takes to go to heaven. I know what I preach, but how will God take care of the people I don't know about? That person in the middle of nowhere who never heard about God, will that person go to heaven? I don't know. What do I do? And we stress ourselves out over it. We make laws. We may even declare, as we know, what the person would do. But here's the thing about it. Whatever happens to such people, God is fair. And I love that he's fair. He will be fair. Romans 2, 12 through 16 refers to such people who, what do we do about such people? When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right with his sight. Even Gentiles, that word Gentiles means people who don't know anything about the Bible. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know the law when they instinctively do obey it, even without having heard it. This is why every country in the world has pretty much the same moral code, no matter where they come from. The same moral code. It's very interesting how God made every nation in the history of time. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts. For their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. And this is the message that I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. He is fair. Romans 3, 23-26, as we close. Romans 3, 23-26, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. I would argue, looking at the entire scape of humanity and the power of God, that the only unfair thing to happen to anybody was to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did no wrong. None whatsoever. And yet, he took upon himself the punishment of every sin ever done. The things that I've done wrong, Jesus Christ paid for. I don't have to pay for what my sins do. I don't have to pay for my own sins because Christ did that. That's not fair at all. It's not fair. I would say the only unfair thing ever to happen to anybody was Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, conquering sins. On that cross, bearing that physical and spiritual pain that we would have to go through, he went through. So I can live a life as I live today. And I can go to heaven now because of what he did. I have to say, I thank God for taking upon himself all the unfairness that should have been upon me. It is only just that I die for my own sins, but because of Christ's love for me, it's not going to happen. I'm so happy for that. I must praise God for that. And I pray everybody here has that same, if you will, unfair blessing. That's what grace means. That's what it means. Grace means we have upon ourselves something we don't deserve, but we have it anyway. I pray everybody here has grace through Christ, that we all have accepted Christ as a Lord and Savior, that we believe he died on the cross for our sins and rose again and are baptized in the name of Jesus. If not, today's a great day to do so as we stand and sing.